with Jesus' joy. I want a big HTH welcome. Please help me celebrate the gift of God in the house. Apostle Joshua Selma, as he comes to minister to us. Come on, celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Everything I learned sitting down here, how intentional God is as far as raising people in this church is concerned. I was so blessed, you cannot imagine the impact. You see, let me tell you this, impact may be global, but it is one destiny at a time. 1 million is one plus one plus one plus another one plus another one plus another one until it gets there. So if you neglect one, it neglected 1 million. Because the 1 million you are looking for includes the one you are neglecting. Are we together now? When I particularly saw the video, the last one, where Mama took, you know, the leadership project to the village somewhere, and I said, this is incredible. This is really what we call impact. His treasure house, God bless you. Pastor Godwin, may God bless you and your dear wife. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor Opie, God bless you. I honor every man and woman of God here. And it's a privilege again to bring the word. I trust that tonight will truly be an encounter. It's my final session with us. And it is my prayer that our time would be worth the while. Open up your spirit. We're going to start tonight with a little prayer session. Is that fine with you? So we invest 10 minutes of my time and then we'll pray. I believe in the power of prayer, and that if done with understanding, it can produce tremendous dimensions of impact. And so for the next 5 to 10 minutes, please don't be distracted. If you want to walk around, you can do it gently, but you are going to connect with understanding. Father, you have brought me here to change my life. Like Reverend Sam prophesied that this is a shift, and your pastor also attested, he gave an attestation over that, he agreed with it. I'm standing in faith as the third person that this night is someone's shift. Can you lift your voice and begin to pray in the spirit from the depth of your heart? No distraction, your eyes focusing on Jesus. Shebranda kaparakatos kalibregete veleketos yata. Shabrige beretus kiandata kashkala prata kaskaberia kete veleketos yata. Someone is praying. Sabrantes kalikaparatus kalibrendege veleketos yata. Let your spirit man be opened, let it be enlarged. The Bible says, for as long as there was no more vessel, the oil stopped, the oil ceased. Someone is praying. Embrigete balasta ka prasta de balakatu 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 ka prasta de Lord, my spirit is open. A new season and a new dimension. A new season and a new dimension. In the spirit and in blessing. A new dimension in the
spirit.
Let your eyes be fixed on Jesus as you pray. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
The Bible speaks about, we're still praying. It said there were two men who were on their way to Emmaus. And the Bible says, while they were on their way, Jesus came and he was in the midst of them. But they did not have the miracle of the seeing eye and the hearing ear. They were with Jesus, but they did not understand. They were discussing the happenings around the city. And the man said, who are you talking about? And said, are you a stranger in this land? Are you not aware of the things that have happened? The Bible says, they sat at table. It says, when the bread was broken, their eyes were open, and then he disappeared. You are going to cry, Father, all it takes for my eyes to be open and for my ears to hear that which pertains to my rising, that which pertains to my excelling, I obtain praise. Go ahead and pray. Please, Jesus, pray. The seeing eye, the hearing ear, I obtain grace. I obtain grace. I obtain grace.
In Jesus' name we pray.
We look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Our hope is Yahweh, Yahweh. Lord, we look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Forever Yahweh, Yahweh, we look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh. Our hope is Yahweh, Yahweh. Lord, we look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Forever Yahweh,
is Yahweh, Yahweh. I look to Yahweh, Yahweh.
Allah shala gabrata gabere kusiana. Hallelujah. Tonight, as I'm teaching, you know, we're talking about exploits. I want you to be very sensitive. I tell you the truth, what the Spirit of God is going to be doing in someone's life in this place. You see, because this is the ministry of the Spirit. This is more than a lecture. This is more than a discussion. We are in a realm and an atmosphere where every kind of possibility can happen at the instance of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So I'd like you to be sensitive, because when the Holy Spirit hovers across a people, it is not only information He is giving. There are activations and there are impartations that are happening from within your spirit. Are we together now? You must be very, very sensitive. Jacob in chapter 28 said, "The Lord was in this place and I knew not." Then in chapter 32, when he came again, now he had discernment. And he said, "Leave me, for the day breaketh." He said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." He says, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Thou shalt no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince you have had power with God and you have prevailed." He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the Bible says he called the name of the place Peniel. The sun arose. He said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared." Hallelujah. Please don't be careless. Let your spirit man be open. You have invested time, you have invested your days listening from one preacher, one teacher to another. I believe that for someone, you are coming to that point in the spirit. It's like a tipping point where a new grace, it's like the dew of Hermon, just resting upon you to empower you for the next season. This is why we are here. And so you must be sensitive, not only to hear, you must be sensitive to receive. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Before we sit down, I'd like to minister to just two people and then we'll pray. The Lord just instructed me to do that. The power of God is coming on two people. And this is not, we'll have the time where we pray generally. But for these two people, listen, these two persons, for one of you, it is a mighty call of God that is upon your life. I know we're talking about exploits. God has been dealing with you. Even you do not know the extent to which He's going to use you. The only thing you have to show now are your encounters, the prophetic dreams, and a few people who have spoken around your life. But the Lord is saying that in this season, He's activating that grace, and He's beginning to push you into these dimensions of your call that you should not fear. There is no man who is qualified by the strength of the flesh. Our sufficiency, the Bible says, is of God. Two of you, the hand of the mighty one is coming upon you right now. In the name of Jesus, just help and guide them. One more time. Adonai. Us tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Please be seated if you can. Shiva Skali Brandaga Suprandike Parusia Talaka Suprandasia. Shinaska Pranda Katushka Likros Kidiata Kakusa Pradia. For someone, the Lord is speaking to you. He says it will not be like before again. It is a new season. It will not be like before again. It is a new season. I speak it by the Spirit of grace, and I declare that it will be. I'm hearing this again in my spirit. It will not be like before again. It will not be like before again. He said, "Master, we have toiled all night. It will not be like before it came. Psalms 18 from verse 29. Psalms 18 from verse 29. Shamisalakosia Prangatoskia Talakosia. 18:29. It says, "For by thee I have run through a troop." It says, "And by my God I have leaped over a wall." There are certain levels of exploits in this kingdom. Reverend Sam said something that was so instructive and powerful. He says, you carry the nature of the one who birthed you. In other words, a fly does not give birth to a man. Are we together now? Yes. And so, he says, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. When you become a partaker of the nature of God in Christ, like we shared yesterday, there are many, many implications to that experience. Among them is that you have now been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But you see, the level of knowledge, like I began to teach us yesterday, that you must have an experience with God. The experience that you need with God is deeper than just the experience of salvation, the new birth experience. Please let me have your attention. While it is profitable to be saved and to be born again, the experience that we're talking about is deeper than just saying, "I give my heart to you, I receive your life, and that's it." Is an experience of intimacy that comes through pursuit, an experience that reveals the nature and the character of a man or of God in this sense by investing quality time. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, it says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." You cannot give a half-hearted pursuit, a half-hearted commitment, and expect to find God. Hallelujah. So we began to discuss yesterday a few keys that are responsible for a life of exploits and impact. Number one, we said you must have a deep experience with God. The stamina and the strength of the believer in this kingdom is predicated upon your experience with God. I did say yesterday that the God that you know is the one you reveal to your world. Are we together? Moses said, "Who shall I go and tell Pharaoh has sent me?" And he said, "I am that I am." When you stand before Pharaoh, tell him, "I am has sent you." The names of God capture the dimensions of possibilities that are that make up this personality that we call God. And so he fragments himself into various dimensions. Hallelujah. And when we learn his names, we also learn the various dimensions that teach us the possibilities that are in Christ. What Jireh would do for you is not what Rapha will do for you, although it is the same God. But it is a dimensional operation of God. So we continue to learn his names. When we call him Jireh, we're talking about the one who is able to provide. When we talk of Rapha, he's the one who is able to heal and even to sustain. When we say Shalom, he's the one who is able to give you peace even in the midst of the storm. When we call him the Lord of hosts, that is a separate operation. Is someone learning already? So you need a deep enough experience with God. Because if the challenge that is before you requires Jireh and it's only Rapha you know, it is God you know, but you will still fail in the presence of that situation. You must know God so deep that every situation requires a name of God. Or a dimension of God, if I would say. When you stand, the dynamics of healing is not the same as the dynamics of prosperity, although they are kingdom principles. Are we together? When When you desire power from heaven, prayer and fasting and all this will bring it. But when you desire prosperity, it will take more than prayer and fasting. There is a place of your mind. There is a place of value. There's a place of relationships. All of these work together. So if the only thing you know is Rapha, then you will only do well if you have situations that require correction of human bodies. Now, most people choose the aspect of God they want, not the aspects their destinies will require. So for many years, you can say, I know God, but what dimension of God have you explored? Hallelujah. The scribes and the Pharisees had the Torah, the entire Pentateuch in their head. And yet the one that the whole book was talking about, when he came, they could not identify him. They were angry and they kept debating, who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you this and that? Because it takes more than head knowledge. It's an encounter that opens you up to several dimensions of him. When David stood before Goliath, he said, the same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear, that is the one who will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Hallelujah. You need an experience with God. An experience with God takes time. An experience with God will require your resources, your passion, your everything. Let's take it a step further. The second key to a life of exploits, biblical key to a life of exploits, is the force of faith. The force of faith. The force of faith. There are many things to teach about faith, but I'll just point out a few things that are necessary. When it has to do with the subject of faith, the Bible tells us, number one, to beware of what we hear. Mark chapter 4, please, and verse 24. Mark 4, 24. Please give it to us. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Jesus said unto them, take heed what ye hear. So the content, the quality of the spiritual information that you have access to has a lot to do with your faith. You can listen well, it's only that what you listen to was a lie. Are we together? So it matters, the spiritual content that you consume. That is why I bless the Lord for a dear man of God like your pastor and the quality of teachings that he continues to bring from this altar. There are many people who have the zeal and the heart to learn. Their ears are ever open, except that the information they are exposed to is highly inferior in content and in quality. It says, beware what you hear. Number two, Luke 8:18. It now says, beware of how you hear. So it talks about content, and now he's talking about attitude. Beware of what you hear. Beware of how you hear. That means you can be in the presence of a superior information, but that the kind of attitude, the attitude of honor, passion, desire, open-heartedness. Did the Bible not say to receive with meekness the engrafted word? Are we together? Yes. There is the attitude component to faith. So you can hear something so powerful and say, wow, this is interesting. I think I'm happy. This is something very nice. You did not put in it an attitude that will make it work for you. So let me start in discussing the subject of faith, that what you hear and how you hear can define the entire scope of the workings of faith in your life. Many believers do not understand the subject and even the dynamics of faith. And this kingdom is faith-based. Operating in this kingdom, God designed his economy to always depend on faith. Hallelujah. We do not use faith that is coming. We use faith that has come. In this kingdom, you cannot say, I want to get this with faith that is on its way coming. Your first assignment is to use the word of God to ensure that the faith has arrived. It is faith that has arrived that is able to purchase possibilities for us in this kingdom. There are many people who want to transact spiritual realities with faith that is on its way coming. It does not work like that. The Bible says faith cometh. Faith cometh. Are we together? If I want to send someone and I say come, I can't send someone until he's here. I will send the one who is within my reach, who is around, then I will give him whatever message. I say, go and deliver it. Are we together? The reason why it is not working for many people, I tell you, is because what many people call faith is hope. I will be sharing with you what the Bible calls faith. You will be learning that faith is more than hoping. You will be learning that faith is even more than agreeing with God. Just because you agree with God does not mean you are walking by faith. It takes more than that. In fact, faith is more than believing God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, it says, and to give you an inheritance, even among them that are sanctified. So we know for sure that it is the word of God that is able to build believers, even in as touching the subject of faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, please. 1 John 5 and verse 4. The Bible lets us know that this is the victory that overcometh the world. He said, even our faith. That means the possibility for becoming an overcomer depends on the extent of the build-up of your faith. Four times in Scripture, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. They all say the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and verse 17. Am I right on that? It says, so then faith cometh. So then, Hebrews 10, please look for it for me. Did I miss out? Romans, my apologies. Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, not Hebrews. So then faith cometh. Someone say faith cometh. That means before its arrival, you do not have it. And you can know when it arrives. Are we together now? If I give you 10 naira, you can know when you didn't have it and when you had it. You can't hold it and still be in doubt. So if you are still doubting, it's because it has not arrived. When it arrives, you will know. Like the apostle says, such as I have, give I unto you. Faith cometh by two kinds of hearing. Hearing that produces knowledge and awareness, but the second kind of hearing that produces understanding. You will notice there are two kinds of hearing that brings faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The first hearing is responsible for bringing you into a state of awareness. The second hearing is responsible for opening you up to the working dynamics of that principle, bringing you into understanding. Most people have done well in the area of the first hearing, but they have not got comprehension of the principles that connect you to manifest Bible faith. Please pay attention. Just a few minutes to guide our hearts, and then we'll pray tonight. The formula in the kingdom is always by grace and then through faith. Grace is a holistic capture of every possibility that can be made available to the saints and is routed through the office of the Christ. It's called grace. Are we together? So generically speaking, anointing is grace. Wisdom is grace. Grace is everything that comes from God through Christ that can become a system of advantage to the believer is called grace. Grace is not just limited to favor and all these other aspects. Holistically speaking, all of the eternal provisions that come from God to man through the office of Christ is called grace. The only reason why faith works is because grace has it available. The assignment of faith is to draw from a warehouse called grace what is available. So if the grace of God does not have it as a possibility, the faith of God cannot deliver it. Is someone learning now? It is by grace through faith. Healing brings grace. Faith delivers it to the believer. That means if the grace of God is like a warehouse, a compendium of the multifaceted possibilities, all that makes God God is captured in that word grace. The assignment of faith is to use your understanding to search that warehouse, which of that component is responsible for your excelling in that season. And with digital precision, it will pick that which you need. Is it wisdom? Is it favor? The assignment, faith, is God's delivery system that makes that which is finished in Christ to be made manifest in your life here and now. If you're with me, please say amen. So you must know what is there to even know how to lay claims by faith. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul was mentoring the church in Ephesus, and he said, blessed be the Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, my apologies, 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the definition of grace. All spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ is called the grace of God. Now, the only challenge is the dimension where it is stored. It is not stored in a dimension that can be accessed by the power of the flesh. Hence, the need for faith. Are we together? Jesus, in teaching us how to pray, said, when you pray, pray thus, our Father. Then he says, which art in heaven. That means you are talking to one who is able to supply, to provide, but he's not in your dimension. That means you have to be able to outsource an agency that connects you from this dimension to that dimension. When you carry Naira to America or to Europe, your Naira is there, but it doesn't mean anything there. Is that true? Yes. Even when you bring dollars to Nigeria, as much as it's a hard currency, as we say, you may not easily use it for payment. There has to be a system of exchange so that now you downgrade it in this sense to the currency that is available for you, that the common man can see and understand. That's the assignment of faith. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. That he that cometh unto God must come believing that God exists, he is. And then number 2, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does God say about faith again? Mark 11, 22 to 24. Jesus Christ rebuked the tree and it withered. The disciples were amazed at that miracle. And Jesus told them, have faith in God. The original rendition says, have the faith of God. 23 now. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever thou shall say to this mountain, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Pay attention now. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you shall receive and you shall have it. Please keep that scripture there. There are two things here. Believing, receiving, and having. You only have what you have received. If you have not received it, you cannot have it. Receiving is a spiritual technology. You don't receive with your hands. You have with your hands. Are we together now? This is very powerful. The Bible says you will only have manifest what you have received. And you only receive what you have believed. Are we together now? What is faith, ladies and gentlemen? For many people, you will immediately say faith means to believe God. You are right, but that is not a very concise and complete Bible definition. Faith is more than believing. You can believe God and yet not manifest faith. Faith starts with believing. Faith is your conviction, the conviction that you have based on the integrity of God's word, the integrity of His person. But in addition to that, the standard definition of faith is the name given to the action that you take, the obedient action you take to prove that you believe God. That obedient action component is where many people miss it. The name given to the action that you take based on your conviction on who God is and the integrity of His word. That's what the Bible calls faith. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I would always use two examples. So let me use two people. Please, one, stand. Any gentleman, can I use you, sir? Just stand where you are. And then let me use my friend there. Please stand. Now watch these two gentlemen. Do I use my handkerchief? Watch this. This is what they are looking for. Are we together now? And the condition connected to having this is that every time I say receive it, you will say I receive, and then you walk and come and pick it up. So let's go to scene one. My friend, you are going to say I believe you, but don't come. So this is yours. Confess the word. You see that? He's not in doubt. He does not doubt me. He really believes. But does he have it? Because the action connected to that performance, he has not fulfilled it. By the time this blessing came to you, it was 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018. God, I'm still believing. Why is this thing not? I mean, come on, you are God, the God of heaven. Someone will come in 2020. Now you know what to do, right? Here, come and pick it. Watch this. God, this is unfair. In 2 months, what I've been believing for 5 years, because faith is not just agreeing with God. Faith is the action you take. Listen, you can take a wrong action. For instance, he's about to act. Come to pick this. Please go back. My apologies for having to use you, sir. The Lord will bless you. That's how you are moving forward in Jesus' name. Now, watch this. Come and take. You run to the wall there. Go to the wall. Is he acting? Yes. But is he in obedience? Are you seeing that his result and the person who did not act is the same? There are many who are acting, but you are acting against that which was connected to the miracle you are looking for. This is a simple illustration, but you must understand. So believers keep getting frustrated and they say, but I am acting. The instruction is to come towards my direction. So your first assignment is to know me. Your second assignment is to even understand what I've said. Then the third assignment is to obtain the engracing and the energy to walk with precision to my direction. Those who understand this continue to rise from one level of exploit to another. And it looks as though God isolated a few people and continues to invest His blessing and His grace upon them. Did you hear carefully what Reverend Sam Adeyemi said? That he went to God and the Lord told him, you will not get the seats, but you will renovate 4 or 5 schools altogether. And that what they had was just their 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, I know that I heard God. Are we together? And he acted in the direction of the instruction. Not the direction of desire. the direction of the instruction. So this gentleman has been waiting. He's been acting. Do you know this man will be more frustrated than this one? Because at least this one did not dissipate energy. He knows he's in disobedience from the beginning. This guy has been acting from pillar to post. So you will see his motion and think God is unfair. Why there is no reward in the midst of such spiritual activity? Because God is moved with compassion, but he acts based on his word. Please return back to your seat, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Are we together now? Faith. The name given to the action that we take based on our conviction and based on the integrity of God's word. Just because you are acting does not mean you are walking in faith. You have to act in accordance to the instruction. Please now write this down. The Bible essentially contains promises, principles, and prophecies. You may want to write that down. The Bible is a compendium as a spiritual book. It's a compendium of promises. They are the revelations of God's commitment to man. Principles that reveal the modus operandi of the kingdom. That means hidden within these principles is a revelation of the way the kingdom operates. And then prophecies that guides us into the future and gives us perspective as far as the happenings in our world is concerned. Every time you open your Bible, you are interacting with these three dimensions. Number one, promises. Number two, principles. Are we together? The assignment of the promises is to commit God. The assignment of the principles is to give you wisdom. Your prophetic edge comes when you understand the modus operandi of the kingdom. He told Job, he said, "Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, and canst thou establish the dominion thereof upon the earth?" So every time you open your Bible, you are interacting with principles. I mean promises, you're interacting with principles. Watch this. The Bible represents the boundary of God's commitment to the saints. That means God's commitment to you is not indefinite. God's commitment to you has a rule of engagement that it must be within the provision that Scripture allows. Are we together now? God is not committed to the believer arbitrarily. No, he is bound by his word. God can do everything, but the portion of everything you will get is the portion that is consistent with the provisions that the word allows. Are we together? If you are with me, say amen. There are many believers who have all kinds of superstitious ideas about God. And it's the reason why we are not able to command exploits. Because we believe that just because God loves us, we can manipulate him into doing anything anyhow. The jurisdiction of God's commitment to the believer is the scripture. That means whatever the Bible does not give allowance for, even though God can do it, you will not see it in your life. This is very powerful. God has chosen to exalt his word above his name. Do you know what that means? He has brought the word, he has submitted his reputation to the authority of the word. So the only reason why God blesses you is not because you are crying. It's because the word of God has provided an allowance for his integrity to act on that wise. That means the basis for committing God in your life is to be able to find his word that connects to that which you desire. It takes more than desire and prayer and hunger to get God to act. In all your weeping and crying, if the book is not open, the weeping remains. He said, "I wept, for no man was worthy to open the book and unlock the scrolls." And the elder tapped me, and he said, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Won't God increase me? Lord, are you not the God of increase? Just knowing he's the God of increase does not compel him to do that. You have to find it in scripture. Have you found a promise in scripture where his integrity has been bound to as far as your increase is concerned? Listen, if you understand this, you will get far from error immediately. Just wishing that God will come to you because you are crying may look like a very sociological approach, but you will never get God's attention that way. Hallelujah. There are children today dying all over the world, yet the righteous judge, who is also the epitome of love, is still seated on his throne as if he's not seeing them. Because as much as he is love, he is bound by his word. Everything that happens on the earth by God happens through men. It is a modus operandi that he has bound himself with. Hallelujah. So I desire increase. I desire exploits in every aspect of my life. What is the first port of call? The first port of call is to go to the book, to stay with the Holy Spirit and find where it was written concerning that matter. Listen carefully. The Bible says, speaking about Jesus in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says he came to the temple and the scroll of Isaiah was given to him. He said he found where it was written concerning him. Your increase and your exploits begin when you find where it is written concerning you or where it is written concerning that issue. For instance, Apostle, I desire to be great. Show me the scriptural basis for committing God. He said, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Is that in your Bible? Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do and observe all that I command you this day. It says that the Lord will exalt you on high above all the nations of the earth, and that this blessing will come upon you and overtake you. Is that in your Bible? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all. Do how many? All, not the ones you want. All that is written therein. It says, then shall thou make your way prosperous, and thou shall have good success. There are many believers who want to rise and ignore scripture. And that from a child, he says, thou hast known the holy scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. The word of God represents the boundary of God's commitment to the believer. Do not forget this. That means if the word does not give it allowance, the power of God has no ministry except the word of God moves. So what you call anointing remains barren and impotent until the word of God activates it. The power of God will always be in the direction of the word of God. Hallelujah. What has God said concerning you? Even for Jesus, the word, he had to find. That means it is your responsibility. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you, but through diligence, you sit down and search the scripture and find. This is what he has said concerning me. What has he said concerning you? That when men say there is a casting down, for you, you will say there is a lifting up. You see, the portion of God's promises you find and believe and commit to is the part that works for you, not the part that is there. Just because it is in the Bible does not mean it will work for you. Just because God said it does not mean it will happen. There are many things God said that did not happen because it takes more than he saying it to happen. The reason why God spoke at the beginning and it happened was because there was no man. Are we together now? When he made that declaration, he was there all by himself. But from that time, when God declares anything, it will take the dynamics of working in partnership with him on the part of man to make it happen. That means it is possible that God can speak through your man of God that the remaining 2 months left for this year can be glorious months of exploits. You can shout amen truly, you see, and not walk in keeping with the principles that connect you to that blessing. So let me tidy up the subject of faith. That the first port of call is you have to find from scripture the basis for committing God over that matter. This is the reason why the prayer ministry of many people, especially in Africa, is barren, because it's full of noise and stories without the basis for committing God. God is not committed based on the energy that is dissipated. He's committed based on the scripture worthiness that is in the content of that prayer. Is someone listening now? So I can shout from morning till night and say, God, arise. Based on what? Remember that he sits as a righteous judge, and righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. He said, present your cause. He said, bring forth your strong reason. Why should his treasure house go from glory to glory? Just because pastor and his wife are wonderful people. You are right, but in the realm of the spirit, that does not add up to anything. What is the basis? Now you are speaking scripture. The Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light. Is someone learning now? This must become your approach as a believer. For everything you desire, you must be able to defend it with it is written. If you cannot defend it with what is written, you don't need a prophet. I can assure you, you will not see it happen. Hallelujah. How do I know that by the grace of God, you are going to have properties? I think I'm a hardworking person. Well, you are right. There's a place for diligence. But remember, except the Lord builds a house. So how do you know? You see, many believers want things, but they have not found from scripture the basis for committing God's power into that matter. No, God is too kind. Is he blind? Is he not seeing what I'm going through? The other day, he saw the way I suffered. You see, you are not the only one suffering. So find out, why is God isolating certain people and blessing them and lifting them? That's why God personifies his dealings with men and recommends those men that you understudy them, so that you can have greater enlightenment as far as working with God is concerned. Everybody say the word. One more time, say the word. Say it is written. This is the foundation for Bible faith. The word. Both the spoken and the written word. But it has to be within the boundary of the word. Even Satan waits to hear what God says to act. You see, if God has not spoken, Satan does not have any ministry. To be antichrist means you have to hear what the word says. What did God say was the first thing he came? He didn't just come to tempt. His ministry is barren. Even his ministry depends on the word of God. What has God said to you? That becomes the basis for doing whatever I'm doing. Are we together? If you ask pastor today, what is the secret behind the wonderful things that God is doing? He's going to take you straight to scripture and show you somewhere and say, this is what I found. I found your word and I did eat it. It became a joy and even a rejoicing unto me. Many believers want to build Bible faith. Please listen to me. Ladies and gentlemen, do not allow the devil to distract you from this truth you are hearing. By the privilege of God's grace, and not with any way of sounding proud or whatever, I know what I'm saying. I have the results to show for it. I'm not teaching you cunningly devised fables. Just wishing and saying, oh, things will happen one day is a joke. Hallelujah. I want greater power. I want this and that. I want increase on all sides. The word of God is the basis for that commitment. Now, when you find the word of God, listen very carefully. When you find the word of God, you have the assignment to meditate upon that word. Listen carefully until understanding breaks out from that word. How do you know you have understood the word? You know you have understood the word when the responsibility component that is connected to that promise is revealed to you. Until the responsibility component connected to any promise is revealed to you, you have not yet got a revelation of it. Just the awareness of the possibility that scripture provides is not what will open up that door. Are you getting what I'm saying now? For every scripture, Every promise of God, there is a responsibility component connected to it. That means if you desire to rise to higher heights in the spirit, knowing that God has said that as a promise for you is wonderful but not enough. You must know what He said you must do to activate what He has said. Many believers miss this. For instance, let's talk about finances for a minute. The Bible says there is he that scattereth. Is that in your Bible? And yet increaseth. He said there is he that withholdeth more than is meat and tends to poverty. The Bible says a diligent hand shall be made fat. Is that true? See. So, if you ignore the law of diligence, if you ignore giving, you should not be surprised that you are poor. Are we together now? The Bible says, give a portion to seven and to eight, for you do not know the evil that shall come upon the earth. These are all principles. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. If you stop there, you will still be poor, even in the midst of that information. Now you go to 2 Corinthians 9 from verse 6 downwards. I say unto you, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Don't say the size does not matter. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Is that true? The Bible says, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Cheerfully and not grudgingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. Then he says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that ye, having sufficiency in all things, that you will abound to every good work. So, you see, most believers have not taken time to stay with the word. There's no superstition about greatness. It's the depth of your investment in the word until you understand the promises that are connected to your destiny. Then the responsibility component. Hallelujah. When the Bible says be fruitful, he also said be relational. Because nothing multiplies by itself. It only multiplies based on its union with something else. Even the earth. You put a seed like this, provided that seed is not in contact with the earth, it cannot multiply. So be fruitful does not just mean be creative alone, in addition to what Reverend Sam has said. Be fruitful also means be relational. I want to be fruitful, but you have not learned the principles of relationship. You will be barren and you will be alone. And there will be a very scriptural explanation for that. Are we together? How about the subject of favor? Many believers want favor in their life. And I can tell you, like Pastor said, favor is the number one reason we succeed in this kingdom. It is true. You may have heard me say the proof of favor is not money. No. You don't necessarily need money to have favor. Money works on an exchange system. The proof of favor is having access to the hearts of men. When men like you in this wicked world, you are really favored. Are we together? And the Bible lets us know that you can. There are indices to measure the presence of favor. Number one, unusual kindness. Number two, unusual access. These are some of the biblical indices that measure favor. Number three, unusual acceptance. Am I favored? I've given you the keys. Just test it immediately, right now, as you are seated there. Unusual kindness. Unusual access. Unusual. It is always unusual when it is favor. Kindness. Access. Acceptance. So if I find out that everything runs away from me, more than just praying and casting out spirits, I have to go back and say, this is like a doctor. You see, the word of God makes us wise. Are we together? So I see the deficiency of kindness in my life, the deficiency of acceptance, the deficiency of access. Immediately, if you are a believer who has stayed and you have listened to your pastor, you should be able to diagnose immediately what is wrong with you or another believer. This is what we call spiritual maturity. You have learned God so much you can pick with precision what is wrong with another believer. They can come and say, listen, I don't know what is happening in my life. Even my own father said he doesn't want to see me. There are many possible issues. Are we together now? This man does not have the favor of God working in his life. And it can be fortified by the presence of demon spirits. So in helping that man, you know what to do. If you pray for him and he falls down alone, it's only one part of it. How about the favor part? Then he must learn the principles that connect to favor. And it takes more than prayer for favor to happen. Proverbs 13:15. The Bible says, good understanding procureth favor. He said, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Hardship is a resultant effect of something. And hardship is very predictable. You can program it like a harvest. Is someone learning now? When you say you are a matured Christian, it's not because of your longevity in church. It's the depth of your comprehending the principles, the promises of God, that you are able to navigate your path in the spirit based on this level of spiritual illumination that you have. That way you can become a blessing. If someone comes to meet you now and says, I've been in Abuja and it looks like it is not opening up, do you know what to tell the person? I know we'll usually say, let us pray. And then we'll say all kinds of things and say in Jesus' name on it. And even the person knows that his life will not change. Because there has to be a level of intelligence. I hope I'm not sounding sarcastic. My apologies. My sincere apologies. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. Listen, for many of you, you are learning right now that there are many things that are not working or do not seem to work. Simply because we have paid attention to every other thing else except scripture. For some strange reason, scripture seems to be the last port of call. We explore every other thing and leave the word behind. So I find the word of God as it connects to my destiny. And then, by the Spirit of God and through the art of meditation, I now find the responsibility component that is part of it. Oh, I see. So if I want increase and greatness, there is a place of diligence. I obtain grace from God. That is the next step. You obtain grace from God because you see, walking in obedience requires the help of God. Let me tell you, obedience is not as hard as it's not as easy as it sounds. Obedience sometimes will require you walking alone. Obedience sometimes will require you walking for a long time. I heard your pastor saying something very powerful. Obedience is very expensive, and except by the energy of the Spirit, you cannot obey. You need grace to obey. You need help to obey. Are we together? It's easy to pay tithe over 10,000, over 100,000. The day God gives you 100 million, you will hate the fact that you were taught well. You will wish that they didn't teach you well so that you can have a scripture. How can I just carry 10 million and part with it like that? Hallelujah. Obedience. Having the readiness to judge every disobedience, if and when your obedience is complete. Ladies and gentlemen, in one word, faith is obedience. In one word, faith is obedience. Obedience is a powerful word because in it, it captures action. It captures listening. It captures understanding. It captures consistency. It captures patience. All in one word, obedience. Are we together? Those who do exploits in this kingdom are not men who are powerful and mighty. They are just people who have been foolish enough to obey God. Whatsoever he says to do. John chapter 2, the wedding in Cana. So when you see exploits that are thrilling the life of a believer, sometimes you can credit it to human effort. And in all sincerity, there are participatory roles that we have to play. But there are results that when you see, it tells you it was outsourced from a dimension that is not earthly. Are we together? Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, John chapter 3, and says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. No man can do these things except God be with him. There are results that are attestations. There are proof that God is with you. I'm saying this to someone because you will start commanding supernatural results. And when they ask you, you will say, I simply obey God. For someone, the word of the Lord will come, both written and spoken. You heard, I don't know how many of you were learning from Reverend Sam Ademi as he was speaking. One word, this property, and you go for it by faith. The first miracle Jesus performed, according to John's synoptic account, is a lesson for us to learn. Wine finished. Embarrassment was imminent. They came to Jesus, and he said, fill 6 jars. Do you know those people could die for that kind of thing? It looks cheap today because it's a story. But for those who were obeying, their life was at stake. And when they filled 6 pots, he said, now fetch it. Can you, for God's sake, you imagine that kind of instruction. You know, when wine is over, people are already angry. And he says, fetch that water that you see and be on your way going. It's the same thing as saying, pack your load from your rented house and be on your way going. That before you arrive, a new house will be waiting. That's the similitude of that instruction. When you read it as just pot, it doesn't make any sense. You need to feel the weight of what was at stake. Imagine a man driving with 2 trucks. Where are you going to? The Lord said, before I get to this place, a house will be waiting there. That's the gravity of what they did. The Bible says, as they went, not as they thought, not as they wished, not as they contemplated. As they went, water you turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Let me speak to you. Your water you'll turn into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like him, none like. Are you ready to prophesy for yourself now? Listen. Your water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. So don't ask how a poor man becomes rich. How did water become wine? Don't ask how a tenant becomes a landlord. Don't ask how a mediocre man of God, not even carrying any grace, becomes mighty. If you can tell me how water became wine, the same dynamics that turns water to wine is what turns weak men to strong. Hear me? Midwifing the water and the wine is an instruction. Whatsoever he says, do it. If he said pray, pray. If he said fast, fast. If he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come to the house of the Lord, come to the house of the Lord. If he said, I went up by revelation, revelation should be your lift to scale heights in the spirit. What God says is what controls what he can do. He does not do what he has not said. Please hear me, ladies and gentlemen. Many of you have been holding water for many years, but what your world needs is wine. I want to tell you now, go to the master and he will tell you what to do. And I recommend for you the counsel of Mary. Whatever he says to do, do. There are many people who have disobeyed God and enjoyed disobedience consistently and superstitiously believe that they will maneuver their ways into greatness just like that. No, sir. For instance, he spake a parable that all men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you are not prayerful, you are going to be weak. It's not necessarily an attack. It's a product of disobedience. Are we together? I found your word and I hid it. I ate it. It was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. Listen, my assignment as far as exploit is concerned is to find where it was written concerning it. When the Lord sent me to Abuja, let me tell you a little story. When the Lord sent me to come into Abuja, I argued with the Lord for 3 years. I didn't want, I said, I'm not sure I want to come into the FCT. I'm not ready. But when I came, it happened to be during the pandemic. And so I thank God I didn't have activities. I camped with the word, praying and studying to find the scriptures. It would be stupid of me to come to this city and my reason is people like me. What is that? The realm of the spirit does not respect those kind of parameters. When I sent you and I found certain scriptures and I stayed with these scriptures, Lord, what is the role that I have to play? Learn to ask that question. Don't just say, Lord, I've seen it. Make sure you do it. No. No. Asking God for a harvest when you have not sown is fraud. You should repent of stealing. Are we together? Because a harvest is for those who sow. It is seed time and harvest. So God gives you an instruction. Sow into the life of your man of God. And you do not obey. And later you come and say, God, everybody is testifying of increase. And God says, I'm fair and I'm just. I gave you an instruction. You did not obey. God tells you to get up and go for a training somewhere. When he gave you that instruction, it was because 3 months after that training, a door will be open for people. And only those who have that qualification. And he gave you that instruction, you did not obey. The Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. When all your friends are people who are anti-Christ, anti-success, anti-wealth, anti-prosperity, you cannot be surprised the way your life is if it is not what you want. You've heard me say it, that if there are five wise people around you, you didn't count well. There are 6 people. And if there are 5 unwise people around you, respectfully speaking, you didn't count well. There are 6 people. He that walks with the wise shall be wise himself. But he said a companion of fools. He didn't call him a fool. A companion of fools. That means he goes everywhere with them. He shall be destroyed. Are we together? Say we were born on the same day. All that is nonsense. When you are ready to go to the next level, you have to edit with understanding. Okay, the Bible says this, that my destiny is relationship dependent. So with intention, you begin to choose the people you give access to various aspects of your life. And God is bound to honor his word because you have obeyed. Is someone learning? Many believers enjoy walking in disobedience. And we wonder why we do not scale heights to make exploits in the spirit. For someone here, in the name of Jesus, you are receiving in this service a strong baptism of the grace for obedience. And for someone, while you are hearing me speak, the Holy Ghost is saying many things to you. Many things, giving you instructions in addition to that which you will be hearing from here. For some of you, you want to trust God. You know, you are trying to break out of, say, let me use, you know, financial hardship. Have you listened to the things that your pastor has taught? Have you gathered together all the scriptures that talk about your financial well-being? Or are you just angry at those who are prospering? Are we together? Have you camped with it? Have you bought any book by anybody that God has blessed? Because the Bible says, follow them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. There are some them who have obtained already. If your oil is over, go to them that sell and buy. There are them that sell wisdom. There are them that sell favor. That's the third thing I was going to talk about. Can I tell you the truth? Every dimension you seek to get into in the spirit, there are men who have embodied it by reason of their sacrifices and the election of grace. If God grants you the eyes to encounter them, There is an anointing that comes from the place of pain and sacrifice and death. These are the ones the Bible calls them that sell. There are those who sell wisdom. Unfortunately, you don't just buy with money. If God grants you the grace and you can find this teaching, may I please recommend that you listen to my teaching, Buy the Truth. I teach on five currencies that we use to buy the truth in the kingdom. One of it is honor. One of it is hunger. One of it is meekness. Buy the truth, he says, and sell it not. Everybody has the currency that is used to buy the truth because they are not material. So if you are bankrupt of the truth, it is because you have refused to go to them that sell and to buy. Your pastor and his dear wife are two examples of them that sell. For as long as you keep looking at him, oh, he's a great man of God, you will not get anything. You must have this revelation. God has anointed this person, and by his results and his walk with God, there is an anointing that God has put upon his life. And I can come with understanding. The anointing is actually the third thing I was going to talk about. For a time, I'll just mention a word on it, and then we're done. The third component that is responsible for a life of exploits is the anointing. Psalms 89. Verse 20.
We look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Our hope is Yahweh, Yahweh. Lord, we look to Yahweh, Yahweh. Forever, Yahweh. Yahweh.
Listen, I want you to be sensitive. I have just a few minutes. My time is practically up. But I want you to pay attention because something is about to come on your life now. We're reading to 24. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, read. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. The next verse. And also shall strengthen him. 22. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. All because of the anointing. Next verse. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his authority be exalted. Listen, let me tell you sincerely, ladies and gentlemen, when you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and you have an understanding of who God is, then you have respect for the covenant. You have respect for the word of God. Are we together now? To find out the promises and the principles that are contained therein and obtain grace from God to immerse yourself in the word. To walk in obedience, that leads you to the third level where you encounter the anointing of the Spirit. And there are two principal channels for receiving the anointing as revealed from Scripture. Number one, directly from God through encounters. God is able to minister to a man through encounters because an encounter is able to close the bridge between the physical realm and the supernatural realm, and it makes it possible for you to receive, even in a dream, even in a prophetic, in some kind of prophetic experience. An example was Solomon receiving his wisdom. It was an entire, the affair was between God and him, and yet he woke up with that wisdom imparted upon him, an understanding heart, and it was able to speak in his world. You can receive directly from God through encounters. Number two, you can receive directly by impartation from the carriers of this anointing. You can receive the anointing directly from the carriers of this anointing. The Bible is full of men and women who have been empowered by the Spirit of God and mandated to be systems of extension of the same to as many who are willing. Please pay attention. Just lend me 2 or 3 minutes and let me tie this up. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul was speaking over the church in Philippi, and he says, ye all are partakers of my grace. Partakers of my grace. That means when God anoints a man, he does not intend for that anointing to remain with that man alone. That it can start from that man, but it should spread around to as many who desire. Is someone learning now? He sends a word to Jacob. He intends that it lightens upon Israel. Every dimension of exploit in this kingdom has an anointing component, a grace component that controls that possibility. I can tell you this with authority. Every dimension of exploits and impact in the kingdom has a grace component allocated to it. That means when you see people physically speaking, bringing to the table certain levels of results, among the many forces at work in them is the force of the anointing. You cannot operate at certain levels until the anointing that ushers you to that level comes upon you. Hallelujah. Our possibilities in this kingdom are governed by the kind and the level of grace that is upon us. More than a well-intentioned heart, you must come to this understanding that my results are limited by the kind or the degree of grace that is upon my life. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, Apostle Paul was speaking again over the church in Rome, and he said, for I long to see you. Paul is speaking. I long to see you that I may impart upon you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. 2 scriptures. Numbers chapter 27, please. From verse 18 to 20. My apologies for the time. My sincere apologies. Numbers 27, 18 to 20. Please give it to us. And the Lord said unto Moses. Let's read together. Ready? One to read. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit already, and lay your hands upon him. Why? Verse 19. Set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him charge in their sight. Verse 20. I like this. Thou shalt put some of thy honor. You see that honor is a grace. You can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor is conferred upon you by another. And honor is transferable. This is what many leaders do not have. Truly, many people have skill, but they do not have the grace for honor. It takes honor for a generation to listen to you. When that grace is upon you, are we together? Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Let's see what came upon Joshua. 34, 9. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him exactly as they did, as the Lord has commanded Moses. That means Moses' result could be reproduced if the conditions were met. Are we together now? In that case, he received from Joshua. Joshua received from Moses. And they hearkened unto him. Can I tell you the truth? Every dimension you truly desire is available, but not under any condition or every condition. There are conditions in order to receive. This is what separates the men and the boys from this kingdom, or in this kingdom. As far as exploits is concerned, there are many people who are not interested in growing the level of grace that is upon their life. There are men that have been privileged by God to be carriers of this grace. Your pastor, your man of God, and his wife. For many of you, let me tell you why you have not experienced exploits. You just see him as my pastor. We eat, I can shake him, he can hug me. I'm not talking of human worship. There has to be a recognition. There are laws of spiritual transference. The anointing does not just transfer from one who has it to one who needs it at the instance of hunger alone. There are conditions. Condition number one is honor. Honor. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. I can tell you this is the reason why, respectfully speaking, this generation has very few people rising. Because that sense of honor, our sociology is strangling and destroying it in the name of westernization. Children have no honor for parents. People have no honor for leaders. I know there are people who have exaggerated it. I'm not talking of human worship and some godless things. The moment everybody is the same in your mind, you're already in trouble. Honestly speaking, it's true. See, those who have this grace know they have it. A hospital does not go around looking for patients. No. I've not seen any hospital running around looking for patients. Even if the patient is in need of ICU, somebody will help the patient as soon as treatment only starts when he enters the hospital. There are many patients today who are crossing their legs and wanting hospitals to uproot themselves and come and find them. This is why many people do not rise. My brothers and my sisters, please hear me. I'm speaking to you by God. Except if you want this to just end as a theme of a conference. But if you want this to become spirit and life in your life, for someone, maybe this is what you are missing. Go to them that sell and buy. There are people who have been graced by God, carrying all kinds of covenants with God, and your encounter with them through honor and discernment can open you up to a world of limitless possibilities. I have studied this subject myself by the privilege of God's grace. Why certain people seem to be fearfully lifted and why certain people remain. You've heard my stories. I don't have to repeat them again. For some of them that I've brought. But let me tell you the truth. Believe me when I tell you I'm a product of many anointings. I'm a product of many graces. Hallelujah. Tonight, God is giving you an opportunity to bring to an end a current season or to recycle it for the next 1 year. The choice is yours. You can get angry with your current level. I remember many years ago, I was in Port Harcourt. It was a conference like this. They didn't have much, you know. I love the Lord, but this finance thing, the doors will not open up. It's a dangerous thing when you see a door and you can still not pass. And after a conference like that, I remember the man of God called that people would sow, people would give. I didn't have anything. People were coming to give. By the next day, I carried everything. I placed my clothes, rechargeable, everything. I zipped it and I prayed in tongues 3 hours non-stop on that bag. I said, Lord, you are faithful, you are righteous, you are true. I take responsibility over my current situation and I insist that it must change. I dragged that bag like Isaac to church. I sat outside in the overflow. When people were giving, dropping landed properties, the Holy Spirit now decided to disgrace me. I sat there, he said I should remain there first. After everybody finished giving, he said I can go. I stand before God, I'm not lying to you. If I'm joking, I'll tell you I'm joking. I dragged that bag, everything. When I brought it to the altar, of course, some people will laugh at me. That bag is not really something, that is just my Isaac. I brought it and I dropped it and I went back feeling cheated. I sat down outside and I remember the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, son, from this day you have entered wealth. Sometimes we don't share these things to brag, but it's important believers know that this thing is not about luck. If it is not there, it's not there. Once upon a time, I remember you've heard my stories of entering mortuaries, praying for dead bodies, being close there, and the dead body did not come back to life. Are we together? I had to tell them, come and get me out of this place. I've done my best. I've exhausted. I mean, I'm being honest and sincere. So when you hear of what God is doing now, don't think that it's these things, you can grow into it. That means get tired of this version of yourself. Don't keep recycling possibilities where you can scale to higher heights. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm a product of many anointings. I know what the anointing can do in the life of an individual. I'm about to pray over your life. I'm lending my voice with your pastor. You have come here and you have come here. It's time for you to really be shifted to a new level in the spirit. Don't do yourself this disservice of assumption. You say, I don't need it. The days that are coming, you see, it is a plane that is 35,000 feet above sea level that does not have to worry about traffic. But for as long as you are on the ground, you can be sincere. It's just that the road was closed. Armed robbers hardly attack in the air. You see that now? Yes. A man can be 12 or 7 hours ahead of you going to Lagos, and you can get up casually. You can be sleeping when he started the journey. You can call and he says, well, there's 4 more hours left. And by the time he gets to Lagos, you are still sleeping in the other house. You have arrived. The difference is the vehicle that transported you. Please hear me. The anointing is a fearful lifter. It can lift a man. It will veto your background, veto your experience, veto whatever it is. Don't say the reason why I'm not rising is because I'm in Abuja. It's not true. I'm telling you. If they are rejecting you, it's because the grace for favor is not on you. When that grace comes, you will see somebody who will say, I don't like you, but what do you want? That kind of paradox only happens when you carry the anointing for favor. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. That someone will call you and say, you know, it has been on my mind. The Lord asked me to keep a car in January to give somebody. He didn't tell me the person. Favor writes your name in the realm of the spirit and sends it to the spirit of that man and says, this is the man. Listen, get tired of a life of the absence of results. We established yesterday that our results are important, not just for the carnality of it, but that in our excelling, Jesus is revealed and glorified. This is why we seek these things. I want you to pray. You are going to declare that I am tired of this level. Oh God, there has to be a higher height in the spirit. Someone pray just for a minute. Our time has been stretched, but I want you to pray. Think of your children. Think of your life, your ministry, all that you are involved with. Father, it's time to shift to another level. No excuses. I take responsibility. But the people that do know their God, someone is praying, they shall be strong. Father, it is time for the gate of the next season of my destiny to be opened. Hallelujah. 2 prayer points. Number 1, I obtain grace to take your word seriously. I obtain grace to invest my life. To invest my life learning your word, learning your way. Someone cry, cry, cry. Take your eyes away from who is by your left or right. I obtain grace. Hallelujah. Now I want you to pray. Father, the anointing that is connected to my next level, I obtain it. The anointing that is connected to the next season of what you are doing in my life, in ministry, in business. In the name of Jesus, I open up my spirit to receive. Go ahead and pray. For every level and every dimension, there is an anointing. Hallelujah. Something very funny happened a while ago between me and one dear friend, a man of God. Somebody called him from another nation and wanted to give me something. And so he called him and said, I know Apostle is your friend. And he said, yes. He said, well, this is what I want to do for him. And it was something quite serious. And when he now sent, you know, the gift to me through the man of God, when the man of God called me, he said, Apostle, we need to talk. How can someone who I know call me that he knows I'm a man of God too, he knows I love Jesus with all my heart, and he knows that I need whatever he said, and then tell me to help him and give you? We were laughing over it, not that he was angry. And he said, no, Apostle, we have to talk. This is very, very unfair. And I laughed and I told him, I said, my brother, this thing, bah, truly, there is a grace that controls it. If that grace is not on you, it's not on you. It's as simple as that. I'm saying this because there are graces that are going to come on you now through these words. One of them, number one, that I want to stand upon the grace of your man of God and his wife. The grace for favor. Listen, most people really do not know what the favor of God can do. There is a difference between breakthrough and favor. If it happens only once, believe me, it is not favor. Favor makes it consistent regardless of the situations. Hallelujah. I'll say this because I've said it before, and I'm not saying it just to charge your heart. You know, Pastor, a group of people just came together and looked at me and said, Apostle, we entered a covenant as a real estate firm with God that anywhere we build our estate across the world, there must be a house for you there. I looked at these people. I don't know how many estates they have across the globe now. I've not even seen every one of them. They kept their word. How many houses can you stay in your life? Is this not all you are? That's none of favor's business. Once it is on you, it has the assignment of reproducing Eden in your life. Reproducing Eden in your life. Reproducing Eden in your life. I was traveling recently, and a woman was just seated close to me. And then this woman just screamed and said, ah, is this not the Apostle? I said, yes, this and that. Eventually, I got to find out, a very big and serious woman. And, you know, God just connected a relationship that the rest is history. To God be the glory. Let me tell you the truth. When it is hard, it's because favor is missing. There is a place for endurance, don't get me wrong. But when it becomes unreasonably hard, it's because favor is absent. In the name of Jesus, over someone who came to church tonight crying and saying, Lord, things cannot continue like this, I stand upon the grace of Pastor Godwin. In the name of Jesus, as privileged carriers of this grace, I decree and declare, may this grace for favor truly let it come upon your life now. Shout a believing amen. Let it come upon your life now. Hear me. Let me speak over any business that has refused to rise. It remains stunted. You've done everything you know to do. In the name of Jesus, may the favor of God rest upon you now. Unusual kindness, receive it now. Unusual acceptance, receive it now. Unusual access, receive it now. Number two, in this end time, one of the greatest weapons that the believer needs is the spirit of discernment. You cannot use your optical eyes to know what is of God and what is not of God. The devil will paint white to look like black. There are many, many things that look like God. It's only when you get there, you find out you trapped the next 10 years of your life. Please hear me. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. For many of you right now, there are mistakes that when you make as a result of lack of discernment, it will take the mercy of God to bring you back. Some of you, maybe it has even already happened. Discernment. Discernment. You can look at a door, brilliant, opened already. Great opportunity. And yet, your spirit tells you, as wonderful as this door is, it's not for you. And you will leave there only to find out that the door closed, never to open again. Even the prison has doors. So you can see a door and be entering and not know that you are entering the prison cell until it closes. There is a way that cement right unto a man. Let me tell you the truth. 90% of believers are grounded, recycling pain in their life because they lack this spiritual quality called discernment. Hallelujah. There are many people who have passed this street, and simply because they did not have discernment, the word that will liberate them was from this altar, and yet they did not have the eyes to see. I can tell you little things in my life that define the next seasons. Discernment. Out of the 10 people who are shaking you, who is responsible for your lifting for the next level? Do you have the discernment to know? Everybody should not join your boat for the next season, but do you know how to pick which is which? In the name of Jesus. The faculty of accurate spiritual perception beyond the realm of sense, the sense realm. May my God release it upon you now. May my God release it upon you now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It took discernment for Ruth to know where to go and stay. Otherwise, she would have missed Boaz forever. Are we together? That step of faith rewrote the next season of her life. It took discernment for Mary to lead the people to Jesus to be able to solve that problem of lack. For some of you, God can just speak to you and say, make this call. For someone, God can tell you, come to church when it is not a church service time. Say, just come and hang around. And you'll be sitting down and someone just comes and says, I wanted to meet your pastor to ask if there are 5 people who need a job somewhere. And that's it. When you hear the stories of great men, that's why the world calls it coincidences. Because there is no other way to explain it. Hallelujah. No other way to explain it. I was traveling somewhere one time, I can't remember where, and I sat close to someone, and that today I have a functional relationship with that person. It was, and truly, I was going to change that flight to another one. But my spirit kept pressing me. I was tired. I was sleepy. I needed to rest. I wanted to reschedule it. But it was just in my heart to just go on. And that one encounter opened me to another season in my own life. You are where you are because all the people to help you have been passing, but you do not have the eyes to see. Again, I'm praying for you. The grace that took your pastor from Lagos to leave everywhere and come down, the grace that situated this church at this point, directing it to every step, I declare by the Spirit of grace, may that grace for discernment rest on you now. Finally, there is what is called the grace for performance. Blessed is she that believes, the Bible says, for unto her there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken unto her by the mouth of the Lord. Can I tell you, when the grace for performance comes upon you, no dream is permitted to remain a dream. That grace has a way of pushing you to give material expression to everything you receive in the realm of the Spirit. A plan is useless for as long as it remains an architectural plan. Many of us have been carrying visions that can rewrite our stories, but the grace for performance is not there. You need more than money for things to manifest. Believe me when I tell you. Are we together? There are many people biting their fingers. Someone called me who was angry and said, should he sue someone who brought out a product? He said he can come and show me the book. I said, that is nonsense. Ideas are like rain. When it was coming, you received the idea, but you did not contend for the grace for performance. Just because you received the idea and you didn't do anything and someone else did something, whoever brought it to the marketplace is the one who is rewarded, not the one who received it. I'm praying for you because for some of you, there are graces, there are ministries, there are visions, there are parakatosyata, there are businesses locked up within your spirit. But the grace to now make it manifest is what is not there. I pray for you by the power that raised Christ from the dead, and upon the grace of your man of God and his dear wife, let the grace for performance rest on you now. Let the grace for performance rest on you now. Hear me? By reason of this grace, some of you will go on Monday to go and register that company in CAC. It's the grace that will be driving you. Some of you, you will go to your land. You may not have money, but the 500,000 you have, you will buy sharp sand and pour it on the ground there and put a cement and say, I will start. The grace for performance has a character of creating discomfort. When that grace came upon King Ahasuerus, he could not sleep. He said, I must do something. I know what I'm saying. When the grace of performance is upon you, in 1 week, you will do something you could not do for 1 year. And every force that has resisted you, every demonic force that has resisted you from making progress, I come in the name of the Lord God of heaven, whose I am. I declare here at this conference, let that demonic embargo be lifted from off your life. Be lifted from off your life. In the name of Jesus. His treasure house, I speak to you, rise to the realm of exploit. Rise to a new dimension. Follow after the grace of your pastor. I open closed doors in the name of Jesus Christ. Closed doors be opened now in the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, whatever has deflated your passion for God, your passion for prayer, your passion for church. Some of you have not been there in a long time. You only strolled in during the conference. You see, consistency is a principle itself in the realm of the Spirit. I pray for you right now, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, fresh fire upon your altar. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you all the thanks. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as a result of tonight and every other session wrapping up tomorrow, honestly, that the next time we hear, the next time we see, let it be that you have scaled heights in the Spirit, doing mighty and amazing things for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you very much.